everybody. I like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And today I like to talk to Shelley Doyle. In this episode, it's called Stay Connected. And this is actually always to inspire you as mothers and to encourage to think differently. And this topic is really about connection. And it's wonderful. You can see this from business side and from family side, and you can use it everywhere and always. So, Shelley, thank you for joining me here. I'd like to hand it over to you. Please briefly introduce yourself.
Thank you, Blanca. So I'm Shelley Doyle. I am a social well-being strategist, which is quite a new title. Over the last couple of years, I've been helping people to connect and feel supported wherever they are in the world. I've recently been able to name what I do, which has been really life-changing and helpful to be able to name it. So social well-being. And it's really that is when you are feeling connected and supported. And it's really when there's an absence of loneliness, then you have social well-being.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you can place this into little words and it has got a whole topic inside of it. Wonderful. I love this. Your life has been exciting. And not only that you are traveling, but yes, actually moving into another country. And please tell us a little about this story.
Thank you. Yeah, so travel and technology have both played a very big part in my life. My father emigrated to the other side of the world when I was 11. So back then, the only communication tool that was available to us was letter writing and the very occasional phone calls because they were very expensive. Within a few years, emails became a thing. So we would send really long emails back and forth. And technology has really just evolved at just the right time for me. So going to college, that was for me when mobile phones became a thing. So I could start texting and I became kind of a natural community builder, like bringing together different groups of friends. I traveled to Melbourne during my undergrad and did a student exchange. And then straight after university, Facebook became a thing, thankfully. So I missed the whole university thing, escaped that being documented. But then Facebook for me was fantastic at that time because I got to keep in touch with all my Melbourne friends, my uni friends, my school friends. It was incredible. This latest move to Canada in 2021 was quite different. So I left without a leaving party. I really don't feel like I told a lot of people that we were even coming. And like a huge move, particularly with two young children, but I felt incredibly disconnected at that time and juggling a full-time job with two young children. I didn't have a lot of capacity for personal communication. And actually I'd really nurtured relationships all through my life very effectively, but I do feel like after having children and working, actually I took my foot off the ball a little bit and I kind of let some of my really cherished relationships go.
Yes, that's a point that sometimes shows up if you become a mother. So your past life is not your future life anymore. And this is sometimes are these things that you have to let go and to find new paths in your life and to start something new and renew yourself or reinvent yourself in another position as a mother with children, with family. And yes, I can totally relate to this.
Yeah.
It's really...
But some of my research has really helped me to understand. So the biggest piece of research that I came to that really helped to shift my thinking was Dunbar's number. So this is the idea that our brains only have limited capacity for human connection. So we have maximum capacity is about 150 people. So I think of it like a circle with you sat in the middle. And then there's Yes. different spheres of intimacy. And the reality is that when we're going through different phases in our lives, like motherhood, like we haven't got a lot of capacity in our innermost circles. So accepting that some of those relationships that even we do really cherish and that we do see as being part of our future, maybe don't need to be part of our present. Like they can kind of slip to one of the external spheres of our social network. It doesn't need to be that we've completely lost them. But
Yes.
according to Robin Dunbar, there is a time limit on these connections. So for our 150 connections, there's about 3 years, 3 years of no connection, and people will just naturally fall out of your consciousness, and you will naturally fall out of their consciousness. So
Wonderful.
this, living on the underside of the world, I am very conscious of. So being intentional about who we do keep in contact with, and having that visual in my mind really helps me.
That's great. Oh, I haven't heard about this number of 150 people that you are able to stay connected consciously. And
Yeah.
after, if the number grows, they sometimes people drop out. So
And
that's.
really, on our social media platforms, I'm sure you have a few more than that if you look across all your different channels. So you just think, who is taking places of those 150 unintentionally? Who are you allowing in? And because of that, who are you forgetting?
Yes, that's great. I love this. It's another point of view that you can really look through the lens of yes, what do you expect or what do you want in your life for connections? So that's great. What would you say was your biggest mistake that you, yes, that others can learn from on your journey? Is there something that you like to share?
Yeah, I think just understanding that our close connections do want to hear from us. They want to feel like they're part of our journey. And social media, sharing on social media can feel quite impersonal. So my biggest learning is to actually let my close connections know what I'm doing. And I don't use social media an awful lot these days. I'm actually about to launch something else myself for my community, because I know how it feels to learn things from friends on social media and feel like I wish they'd just told me, or I wish they'd picked up the phone. And then some friends will say, "Well, didn't you see that on Facebook?" And I'll be like, I don't really use Facebook. So it's really understanding who the important people are in our lives, and then let them feel it. Let them feel important enough that you're going to send them something personal. So I've really learned this the hard way, and I'm now doing this a lot more in my own life, and also helping my clients to do this as well, particularly people that have moved, that haven't got a natural circle around them where they are, and they do want to stay connected, but sometimes that can feel entirely unmanageable. And I think WhatsApp is a big culprit in that. Like, people can have a lot of WhatsApp chats going on and actually inundated, constant, 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 and you're not necessarily feeling that heart connection,
Yes.
but you don't feel like you can step off it because there's just so many conversations going on that you're involved with. Sometimes it can feel really nourishing, but other times it can feel unmanageable. And then people are moving and they're actually not making enough proactive effort where they are, because they're trying to keep up with all the communications that they've got going on, which is a lot. So it's finding that balance and being bold and brave and being like, if this channel isn't working for you, what could you do? And maybe that will be taking a break and really seeing, is do I want to invite that back into my life? Testing, learning healthy boundaries for different channels, and again testing, having digital detoxes, and then seeing what you do want to intentionally invite back in.
Having digital detoxes, this sounds great. So what would you say? What could you tell other people? How can they digital detox really? Because I think, well, it's a little provoking, but I think this mobile phone has got a kind of an addiction. So
Yes.
some people are really not able to place this aside. So even if they do, they feel something is going on and they feel lost, or I don't know. So what would you
There's
say
a
to
word for it. There's a word for it that I found in an Indian article called nomophobia, which is literally like no mobile phone phobia.
Yes, no
And
mo.
it's literally a thing. And I had a real test recently. My LinkedIn profile was disabled. And for me, LinkedIn has been my primary business networking channel for like 15 years. I freelanced for many years. I've built up a really great community of connections. Most of them I've actually worked with, authentic connections. So when that was taken down, literally overnight, no warning, I had already taken most of my social platforms off my phone, but it was a reality check of actually how many times a day I was going to log into LinkedIn. And I was
Oh,
like, wow. And I didn't realize that I had a real addiction to LinkedIn.
yes. Wow.
Because you think of your other platforms, LinkedIn is kind of a very subtle social platform that you just think, you know, it's work, it's proactive,
Right.
productive.
Right,
So
absolutely.
it took me 3 weeks to get my LinkedIn profile back on. You know, nothing had happened at all, so it was reinstated. But I definitely, within that time, I did change my relationship with LinkedIn. I have got it back on my phone again now. I tried not to for a while, but and then I put notes out for myself. So at the weekend, I'm like, no email, no LinkedIn. And then I put a new note out for myself the other day, no email, no LinkedIn after 4 p.m. Be present, be present. And this is just all testing, learning, and everybody's gonna kind of need to do these like healthy boundaries with different channels. We're all gonna have our vices. And like some of them, if it's for entertainment and you're actually, it's elevating how you're feeling, you know, there's nothing wrong with social media so long as we're using it intentionally.
So you give yourself a command to do something special, and then you have to follow your command. Is this right? Would you describe it?
Yes, so I did find a definition of digital well-being, and Google had a really good one, and theirs was about when digital tools support your intentions.
Oh,
But
yeah.
that suggests that we have an intention in the first place.
Right.
And I believe that a lot of us, we kind of have the feeling, the need to connect, and then it's kind of like autopilot now. We go to one of our social platforms to fulfill that need. But then we kind of scroll, and without setting a firm intention of what we're going to do, that need is maybe not answered, but we've already lost the time. So
Absolutely.
setting the intention of, okay, I'm feeling the call to connect. Who could I connect with? And I really feel called, like sit with it, allow a name to come to you. And maybe the name will be Blanca, and I'll be like, I want to connect with Blanca. Okay, which social platform am I connected with Blanca on? LinkedIn. Amazing. Let's go there. Let's have a look on Blanca's profile and see what she's posted recently that I could either comment on or send her a direct message and actually mention something that she posted recently that's really sparked my interest. It's like
Great.
using it as a tool
Yeah.
to answer that call for connection.
So you're fully intentional with this, and so that you don't be distracted from other things, and time just flies by and nothing done.
And knowing that all of these platforms have been designed to keep our attention, they are very cleverly designed. This is what they've been made for. People have literally studied for years at universities to learn how to manipulate you to keep you on these platforms. So don't feel like you're the only one. We all do it.
Yes, even if we know it, it's hard to not follow this path. So knowing is not everything. It's the first step. but you have to take action too, I think. So wonderful. You are helping corporates to, yes, actually in getting or staying connected with their employees and if they work remote. So what is your number one advice to stay connected for the employers with their employees?
So the big thing is creating opportunities for connection outside of work tasks. This is the biggest thing. So there's been a lot of research about having a friend at work inspires engagement and commitment to stay. So this has been a thought for many, many years, and it is certainly true. However, I've actually discovered that it is more nuanced than this. And actually, if the organization has any part to play in the making of this friendship or in the continued nurturing of this friendship, then that commitment to stay is going to be far greater. I think, particularly with kind of remote working, because if we're friends anyway, we've met through work, but we're friends outside of work. And the organization doesn't have any part to play in the continuation of this friendship. We just hang out anyway. Then my commitment to stay isn't necessarily going to be incentivized because I know that we're going to hang out anyway.
Yes. So
So
that's
creating
great.
those opportunities for connection every now and then. And I know a lot of remote companies are doing amazing things in terms of organizing like quarterly retreats for their employees to come together. And maybe these are in person, ideally, but maybe they are even remote, but they're an opportunity to connect on different topics outside work tasks and for those relationships to blossom, to learn things about each other. I bring a lot of relationship deepening games into my facilitation. So I have
Okay.
different tools, decks. I've got this brand new one called Reconnect, which is fantastic, to really help to spark a different kind of conversation.
Oh, I
And they
love it.
work extremely well.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you take a fun part with you.
Yeah, it is fun. That is,
So
that's it. It is fun.
I love this, yes. And actually, if you have got fun in your life, it becomes all easier. And yes, connection is easier. And I think it just, you love to follow it. If everything is very serious and very straight, I think people would not follow every path. So if you have got games, this is even better, I think. I
Yeah,
love
and you
this.
know the old games that you're doing, like corporate team building, it's like building a raft, and it's like, oh, I don't know about you, but I never enjoyed building rafts.
No, okay, because you were going through your personal challenges. Of connection and disconnection, you are able to give a great value. So, what is the question that you are asked mostly from others? Because if they know you and they know what you have gone through, is
I
there
think the
an
biggest question is, when are you coming home? Which is a question that I ask myself all the time. Because the reality is that moving here has not done my social well-being much good. Like I've built some nice connections here now, but it's taken 3 years. And I, you know, it's still like this weekend we're going away with some friends. To a ha beautiful house, and you know, we're gonna have a lovely weekend. And there's certain people here that they do have capacity for you to come into their kind of inner circles. But a lot of people that I've met here, particularly if they're from here, I'm on Vancouver Island, their circles are largely full, very well established. And even if there's amazing chemistry between us, the reality is that people just don't have the spaciousness in their life for new people. So I have found that quite challenging being here. Being someone that's always kind of had really strong groups of friends and family around me. So yeah, when are you coming home is a big question
Where's your
that
home?
I'm
What would you
getting. And
say? Where is your home?
we tend to work just a year in advance at the moment. So I'm still studying here. I will be completing my thesis by the end of this year. So I think that's where we've gotten to in our life plan so far.
Okay, and where would you like to go then? Where would you say is my home? Which country is this, or
Oh yeah, the
where your
UK.
parents
The UK,
are,
yeah, the UK is definitely home. Like my
okay.
father actually returned to the UK last year after 30 years in New Zealand. So
Wow.
we all went back last summer and had a beautiful like catch up with everybody. But yeah, now both of my parents are in the UK, which hasn't happened in my adult life. So there's
Wow.
definitely a pull for me to be in the UK, and for our children to have their grandparents and extended family around them does feel quite important. But I think we all needed this. We all needed to really get away so I can l learn. Like I didn't need to feel like this loneliness. I guess I already felt quite disconnected through the pandemic, which I'm sure so many of us did. I
Yes.
didn't need to get to the situation that I really did put myself in, but I feel like I did so that I can really learn what so many people go through all the time, so I can give value because I know how it feels.
Yes, absolutely. So would you say that even if we have got all those technical things, all those social platforms and everything around us, the personal connection is different? Would you say this? If you get in person with one, and yes, like you said, now in Vancouver, you are having some socialized friends, or you're socializing with other people, but yes, to be connected with your family as the closest one, if you have got a good bonding with your family, a good connection to your family, it's different to be there in person, right?
So according to the research, your closest 12 to 15 connections have the biggest impact in your health and your happiness.
Oh,
So
wow.
feeling connected and supported by 12 to 15 individuals, and they don't all need to be in close proximity to you, particularly with technology, what it is today. Some of them do. You need to have some people around you who you can be your authentic self with. And that word authenticity is really a big differentiator between feeling lonely and feeling like you belong, because you can very easily mask and fit in to an environment, but you may then leave that environment wondering why you're feeling some kind of disconnection or you're actually feeling lonely, even though you've just been in a group of people.
Oh,
If you're
yes.
not able to be who you are and speak your truth, then you're not really getting what you need out of that social interaction.
Oh, I love this. This is great to be your authentic self so that you can connect actually to others. So to, yes, put off your mask and be the person that you are. So, oh, I love this. That's great. I love to talk to you about the business and side of connection and disconnection, because these are principles really that mothers can apply to. And how do you personally connect to your children best? So is there anything you can think of and like to share?
So what we're starting to do, so my daughter's 8, just turned 8, and my son's 5. They're quite ch when they're together, they are thick as thieves. Having gone through the pandemic and moved country together, they're best buds, and they buzz off each other. And what we've been doing recently is really making sure that we have one-on-one time. So last weekend, my partner took my daughter camping, and my son and I had 24 hours at home alone. And something that I found out from a friend and did some research on was tangling meditation. I don't know if you've heard of this. So you just get a sheet of A4 paper, and you just put dots all along it. And then there's all different types, but you just want to be connecting the dots. So I just put on some beautiful music. I told him what we were going to be doing. I gave him a couple of little demos on YouTube. And then we turned the technology off, just had the music on, both got a pencil, and we laid there for like half an hour, just both doing this tangling meditation together and like saying
On
a
one
few little
sheet
things to
or
each
each
other,
of you?
individual sheets. So I had
Ah,
mine and
okay.
he had his. And it felt like such a beautiful moment to just be together. So like we were both doing something, you can do the same with just coloring in and that kind of thing, but this was something new. So I was like, this is really exciting. So tangling meditation, I'd encourage you to look it up. It felt very just relaxing, and I enjoyed it myself. And it's just meant to be the repetition, like you do the same kind of patterns and go through all these different rows, and it does just take you into a bit of a meditative state. So really, yeah, carving out time, one-on-one time with your children, and letting them know that mummy's going to be with you for the next hour. Should we do some arts or crafts? Because mummy is very distracted a lot of the time. So letting them know that I'm actually going to be present with them for a specific amount of time, they can get really excited and be like, wow, yes. And beading, I do with my daughter a bit. So arts and crafts are massive for us in our family.
And then you put your mobile phone aside.
Oh yes. Yeah,
Yes.
apart from music, I do like to have some music
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. Great. Oh, that's wonderful. I love this. What is the offer that you have actually for corporates or individuals? I think you do both. You do also corporates and individuals.
Yes. So individuals, I am launching a new cohort the week of the 24th of June. I don't know when this is going out. I do have a couple of places available. The program's called Intentionally Connected, Your Roadmap to Social and Digital Well-being. So
Wonderful.
we go through reconnecting with self. We look at the places you're spending your time. We look at your people that you're connected with now or you've been connected with over the years. And then we kind of go through taking inspired action and start inviting people back into your life for in-person and online interactions. And if it's something that clients want, then they bring together small groups. And I'm even taking one of my new clients into some metaverse spaces to explore which of these feels good to be able to send a bit more of a compelling invitation to some of his kind of innovative friends to come and gather in these metaverse lands. So that's my one-to-one offer starting week of 24th of June. And then corporate wise, I am launching a workshop tour in September. So I'm currently doing the literature review for my research and running some roundtables. And my workshop tour begins September in Victoria, BC, Vancouver. We'll be going around to Australasia and then heading to Europe next spring.
Wow. Oh, that's wonderful. So where can people find you? How can they reach out to you if they say, oh, this sounds amazing, this program. I need this.
Thanks, Blanca. So thecommuniverse.com is my website, thecommuniverse.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. Just look for Shelley Doyle on LinkedIn and you'll find me.
Yes, wonderful. I will place this also in the description. Everyone can, yes, see this and get connected with you. I love this interview. Wonderful. So much value here about connection, disconnection, digital well-being, digital detoxing. And I love this. So wonderful. It's a pleasure that you are my guest here on this podcast. And yes, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Blanca. It was beautiful to connect with you.
So, thank you very much to the audience. I would love you to follow my podcast, Renew Motherhood, and the upcoming episodes because there is always something new coming here. Thank you very much and have a wonderful day.